Welcome to the Popcorn Talk Network, for the online broadcast network that features movie discussion, news, and interviews. Press one.
Popcorn Talk. We talk movies.
From the Popcorn Talk Network, the online broadcast network for movie talk, we bring you on an expedition through the depths of the movie industry to discuss the amazing, terrible, and amazingly terrible movies based on video games. Our hosts' entire lives are dedicated to a single goal. Probably. Answering the age-old question, do games make good movies?
Hello and welcome to Video Game Movie Anatomy, where we dissect the film adaptations of some of your favorite interactive media. I am one of your hosts, the Internet Soapbox Mark Donick. You find me on Twitter at Soapbox Mark, and we're using the hashtag VGM Anatomy, and of course joined by the returning Patrick Dees.
Hello, sir. Good to be back.
I'm so excited to have you back.
I'm fired up too, and like again, pleasantly surprised. We'll get into it,
but especially because it's a movie that you're not totally against.
It's weird. I was ready to hate. Like, I had to play my normal role. Like, I was ready to jump into this and be like, let me break down why this is hot garbage. And spoiler, I don't think it's hot garbage. It's not the dumpster fire I anticipated.
No. This was, but before we say anything about the movie, let's give what we're calling our speed run, which is our one sentence review. It's a definitive statement that just totally dictates what the movie was for us. What was yours?
What was the movie for me? That's a problem. Like, Mark, I'm a pretty verbose son of a bitch.
Yeah, that's pretty true.
So I would say this for me sets up a lot of the what is the UNSC like backstory, and I think it's a good look at the kind of the origin story of humanity's introduction to the Covenant, comma. Because you said one sentence, right?
Yeah,
I'm using a comma.
Kind of using a lot of hyphens, semicolons.
Right. Dashes. Their introduction to the Covenant, and then, you know, a good live-action look at what Master Chief would be like.
For me, I say that this movie, it's a really BS term, but this movie is the definition of transmedia.
Okay.
It's kind of a term that gets thrown around a lot, and you're like, what the hell is transmedia? But this has everything that an adaptation can be for a fan. So yeah. I say Halo Forward Unto Dawn, the series or the film, is the definition of successful transmedia.
Wait, so first of all, I like the qualifier because I do think it was successful, but also way to be succinct. Like, thank you. I'm glad one of us can handle that.
Well, hey done. Man, I made this layout. I'm damn well stick to it. Speaking of which, we also have our controller toss moment. I like how I left this a little bit ambivalent so that it could either be a positive or a negative. But this is the moment when you're watching the film and you've got to be kidding me. And you throw your controller, whether it's positive or negative. What was yours?
So most of these movies, I'm going to two steps back. Most of these, the whole thing's just one long extended controller toss. Like,
yes.
I'm banging it against the wall. I've broken it. Like, I mean, you know me. I rant on these things. I actually was really, when you asked me what it was going to be, I was hard pressed to think of a moment where I was really upset. Again, this thing was so pleasantly surprising. I think I went in with the lowest possible expectations, so I'm couching all of that in this. But again, the production value is through the roof.
For a $10 million budget.
And don't get me wrong, you can see where they stretched that budget for sure.
Yeah.
But like, I genuinely enjoyed it, and they did this. To answer the question, I think my controller toss moment, because I think that is always a pejorative, would have been when they shifted from live action in Chief rushing the hunter to the completely CG Chief climbing up the back of the hunter, sticking the grenade. It was still badass. It was a jarring, and then you see him land, and then it's just Chief live action again, and I'm like, yeah, I don't know. And it was a slow lob. It wasn't a toss.
Yeah, it wasn't a toss. Like,
right.
Well, I guess that's the cutscene. For me, it was the introduction of Master Chief, because at the moment where he takes care of the elite and what should we call you?
Call me Master Chief.
Like, that was such a moment for the fans, and then the real fans know if this is the introduction of the Covenant, if this is the beginning of the war with the Covenant,
right,
he wasn't a Master Chief yet.
Yeah, and also it seems like a crazy, like, I like the title, but like, couldn't you just say Chief or something? It seems really formal.
John.
Yeah.
Everybody knows he's John 117.
117 right on my arm. I'm with you.
It was so easy. It was cheesy. But like, it's in the moment, it made me go, yeah.
Me too. So but I then, agree. We're picking on it, but it works.
Yeah. But then thinking about it is like, that's not accurate. Whatever. That's for the pop. That's for the fans. That's for the not fans.
So, but also, I think a lot of those work. So, I think a lot of video game adaptations, or even like video game adjacent cinema or transmedia or whatever you want to call this property, they do this thing where like they ride that line with trying to be accessible for people who maybe aren't familiar with the source material, and then also have the nods to the fans, right? And it's a weird line, and most of them go way far one way or the other.
Yeah.
This did a really good job of doing that, those moments. Do you remember, and the hacked footage, they did that great job of saying, hey, look, it's a first-person shooter. And then, they showed
kind of a bit of a reference to it.
Right? Mm-hmm. A little bit. I liked the...
And the map on all of the headset, on the helmets.
Oh, the heads-up display. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Right? Straight from the game. He said things like noob, and pray. Like,
you noobs are the reason why we did the run today. Yeah. So.
Controlled burst, don't spray and pray. Like, FPS type lexicon.
But it also they made that work in the world.
Totally. It didn't feel forced at all.
No.
But if you're in the know, it was that little, like, I like that. I'm enjoying this.
That the noob was almost my controller choice moment. It was like, you know, you noobs, come on!
What are you doing?
You don't have to be like, take your finger out of your nose.
Right.
It's too on the nose. So, as a quick breakdown, it's a wonderful blurb. This movie is UNSC Cadet Thomas Lasky must conquer his inner fears and join forces with Super Soldier John 117 to take down a massive faction of the Covenant.
Massive faction? I think we saw four of them.
Well, it was I mean, they killed an entire planet.
I know. And again, that's where this budgetary constraints come in a little bit. I think we saw like four Covenant. We saw the Elite.
We saw, I think, three or four Jackals, and I don't know if we saw any grunts or not. But
you heard the grunts.
You heard the grunts.
Largely because I always play Halo proper with that skull, the party skull where you shoot at the grunts and little confetti. It's like, so like, definitely had a lookout for those.
Not a lot of Covenant, but that one of my favorite lines relates to that and still makes it. They hid the negatives and accentuated the positives. So they with key dialogue and usage, they made you forget that, they made you forget that while this entire planet is gone, they didn't need their whole army because this is the first. They're not well prepared against the Covenant.
No, for sure.
Yeah, and especially with the ODSCs dropping in.
And they actually really liked that, the unknown, right? And I think that's where this made it not only really accessible but kind of terrifying when you don't know. You know, later on in the Halo fiction, they have the translator, that in-world fiction where you can understand what the grunts are saying.
Yeah.
But none of this, they were just terrifying. That one elite. And you get desensitized when you play these games, right? Like, you mow down hundreds and hundreds of elites every time you play.
Yeah.
But just that one elite walking down the corridor, larger than life, being terrifying. I thought they did a great job there.
The kid's reaction to, like, and also, I mean, let's be clear, having the elite go invisible, wonderful production to not have to animate all of that.
Absolutely, but it worked.
That's one of
those
accentuate the positive side.
He's not even there.
Can we use one of the invisible enemies? Great. It's just like, what are you talking about? It's just went invisible. Yeah. But they're freaking out about it.
Yeah.
Totally made sense. So we're going to talk a little bit more about the film in order. Let's give a quick breakdown of our stars. One of the things that I like about this is there aren't a lot of there's really only two well-known names from an American standpoint.
I didn't recognize anybody from this production.
I'll tell you in a second. Let's start out with Thomas Green, shortened to Tom Green, not the Tom Green that you know. But he played Cadet Lasky.
That would be really weird if Tom Green admitted.
That's the thing. Is when I said know, I was like, "Who's like, Tom? Who is Tom it? Green in this?"
Like, I'm being on the nose.
Yeah, I'm just like, oh, God. But he's mostly a TV actor in Australia. Some of his most successful things. There's a series called Dance Academy that he was in for 3 years. More recent series called Camp, and then he recently started a film called Down River that seems to be taking the independent circuit by storm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then for our second star, Anna Popowell, Kyler Silva, she had this, like, I know her. Why do I know her?
A little bit,
right? Do you want to know
why?
Why? She was one of the kids in the Chronicles of Narnia. Yeah, she was one of the young, she was the youngest one.
I never would have guessed. Not at all.
All three movies together have grossed over $1.5 billion.
With a B.
With a B.
With a B.
Worldwide.
Right.
And then there's one more that's in production that's being written, The Silver Chair. I don't think that's that surrounds The Regular Children, if I remember correctly. She's also in Rain, the television series Rain.
Oh, I know Rain.
And one of her earliest appearances was Girl with a Pearl Earring. I thought both of them had a good chemistry. It was kind of obvious that there would be sort of a romantic linking, but they didn't make it super melodramatic. You knew that they had a connection with the knocking.
The knocking, yep, yeah. Absolutely.
And in terms of the rest of the cast, the two people that I would keep an eye out for Colonel Mahaffey, Ailette Zurer. Have you seen Daredevil, Marvel's Daredevil?
I don't even trust people who haven't seen Daredevil. Yeah, she's the one she's person Vanessa. That actually stood out. Yeah, for
I was
sure.
Just like, holy,
the
awesome.
One, the one person that stood out.
But keeping it in the Marvel universe, the guy that they got to play Daniel or the Master Chief, Daniel Cudmore, is Colossus in the X-Men films.
Right. And what a good choice. Mm-hmm. Like, that guy, like, again, that's one of the things that they did well. They grounded the Covenant in being terrifying, and that guy's sheer size.
He's flipping huge.
It really worked, right?
Sully in the movie was like, we're taking orders from a robot.
Yeah, and he's like 10 feet tall. Like, but it just totally worked.
That was one of the coolest things about it, was that you felt the size of the Spartans.
Yeah, absolutely. And the elites. I mean, despite being invisible.
And the Hunters. Well, the scope made sense.
Yeah, I agree.
The fact that this was produced and directed and created and funded everything by Microsoft, there was that attention to detail that you won't get by funding this out to a different studio.
Sure.
That's why I think Ratchet and Clank is going to be the same thing when it comes out next year.
Yeah.
That's going to be an awesome, awesome movie. And I think that's why Uncharted, Last of Us, all of that should stay under the Sony umbrella.
Right.
So that we can get something like this, where it's something that has the appeal of a wide audience, as well as it hits the small little notes that the hardcore fans will play too.
I think you're right. I mean, in the case of Last of Us, we talk about that on the show quite a bit, but I think what's important there necessarily wouldn't be the budget or even access to, like, what made this work was like the sound design, mm-hmm. right? Like the access to the actual, like, the DMR shots.
The Needler.
Like, you heard the Needler, and it was instantly recognizable if you're even remotely familiar with that series,
yeah.
which I think's rad. And I think, to a lesser degree, that's important with, like, Last of Us. Again, if Druckmann and Straley are involved, I think, like, again, it's the narrative that's important there.
Yes.
But.
No, I totally agree. And that's why keeping it with the studio, like, Naughty Dog's going to have a huge input on the Last of Us film, like Microsoft did for this. So I understand that the series version, the series cut, was a lot different than the cinematic cut that's available on Netflix right now.
Talk to me. What was different?
The Cortana sections
weren't
all at the top and at the bottom. They were cut and put in front of every episode.
How do you feel about that?
I liked it better like this. I like the framing where this look, it's the beginning of Halo 4.
Right.
And yep. then you go to Lasky, who's in Halo 4 on the Infinity.
Yeah.
So you get this framing of, oh, this is definitely related to the game. But if you don't know that, then it doesn't matter.
No, and they did a good job with. So first of all, I don't know if you remember Halo 4's cutscenes, but they were incredible.
They were pretty damn
right?
good.
And so that's one of the things that I really liked was especially the way they ended it with Lasky in that in-engine cutscene, right? With Lasky in that close up. Because during the show, I mean, I felt like 80% of this was like Lasky's face, like right here.
Yeah.
A lot of this.
Super close up.
Right.
On
just
Lasky.
Like, you know, getting that emotion. And,
various ages.
And so to some point, like, I was eye roll inducing to some degree, but at the very end, when they showed the middle-aged Lasky and how the years had kind of worn on him, but mm-hmm. that same look in his face, I thought, like, it worked.
It worked.
It did. I liked the introductions of it made it. It presented itself like it was going to be a different film, with each cadet introducing themselves. You got a little bit more of an insight into who they were and what type of a character you saw them being.
Right.
So I liked that. I thought it was going to be like an Office style, like cutaway to cameras, like, oh,
like,
I couldn't believe.
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally.
But I was ready for that. I was into
too.
That.
Yeah. I read that it started really strong. I was texting you in the middle of this. Like, yeah, this is amazing.
This is
great
damn good.
Start.
And, I mean, like you mentioned with Lasky's cutscenes, we learn about his military pedigree. His brother is an ODST and his mother, is a commander. And one of my favorite scenes, and that's when I knew I was just in hook, line, and sinker, was when he got the message, when he watched the message again of his mom telling him that his brother died, and it, you just see him like staring at it, like he's looking for something, and you're he's looking for emotion on his mother's right. eyes, and she's just like, yeah, well, since they didn't find the body, we're not going to pull you from
right.
from the thing. And he's just like, I'm looking for something, anything that tells me that you're sad about this. And I was like, this is emotional and super deep, and I wasn't expecting it, and I love it.
And he was just broken, right?
Exactly.
Like, just broken. And I think to your point,
even
desperate.
Though this wasn't the first time
no.
he's watched this message, he just has to keep watching it so that he can get something.
Yeah, but we've been there before. I mean, I'm using we, like I'm speaking for you, but like, you know, when things are traumatic to some degree, like you go back and revisit and look for meaning and things and overanalyze potentially post facto. So mm-hmm. it was totally believable.
I agreed. The all of the different kids, even though we didn't get a super... We got enough to care about each of them in a certain way, but I think the one who could have used the most was
which one
is she? Oh, I didn't.
The
Dima,
the Russian.
Yeah, Dima Chukova.
I will say though, and a lot of times, I think when you see in cinema or TV, when you see Russian accents, they're cartoonish and like over the top. Hers was like, if I have to say something nice about it, I think her Russian accent was like fine.
Yeah, no, it was good.
It was great.
It was all right. Got the job done.
It wasn't thick. It was a cartoon.
Like, it started out a little bit stronger than it ended up being overall.
Okay.
So they peeled it back a bit.
Fair enough.
Yeah, yeah. So the turning point for this was it, and we were talking about this a little bit before the show, was it was like, okay, we're getting a little bit of a military drama. They're playing with paintballs, helmet. Okay, cool. We're getting
a little bit
of a
Ender's
thing.
Game.
Yeah,
almost.
Yeah. And then the moment the Covenant ships right. just dropped out of the sky was when, holy crap, things are kicking up.
Right, right.
And
right.
and ODSTs are falling from the sky, and everybody's just, it went from about a 4 to 60 miles per hour.
Yeah, yeah, literally, I felt like in a 4-minute time span, we saw all $12 million on the screen or whatever it was, right? Like,
yeah.
All of it. I mean, and it worked for sure from a pacing perspective.
And despite all of that, even though there was contrived dialogue, it's like, what are ODSTs doing here?
We're being invaded.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, you think?
It's an invasion.
You think?
But it's, God, it
but yeah, like yeah, all of it was telegraphed.
You're just
like,
thinking of the ride.
Your friend, your Russian friend, when she cuts to the front of the line,
yeah,
and gets out,
like, oh,
I mean,
why?
You're super dead. Like you're super dead.
Oh, maybe she's not. Oh, dead. There it is.
Super dead. Yeah, yeah, for sure.
God, the just everything. It's really hard to be it when you have such badass action that the second half of this movie was. Like, going in and pinpointing it with a fine-tooth comb is hard, because anytime you think about it, you're just like, ah, that was badass. That was so cool.
It really was. It really was. Their use of, like, and again, I think that they were very smart about how they used a lot of these actions. They felt impactful without being too grand. A lot of the slow-mo running with dirt exploding, it worked. Again, it worked. But I was on board.
And then it also feels like, since this is all coming from the older Lasky's memory, that these could also be his grandiose, how it felt being there was, here's this ultimate action dude in Master Chief that, and it's just like, he came down and everything was exploding around him, and
oh,
he was just totally composed. That was great.
I hadn't even related to that as such. Like, that having that slant, that it's all in retrospect, mm-hmm. and he was maybe 2 feet taller than he actually was.
Yeah, but it was just like he towered over us. He was inhuman.
Right. Those other Spartans' eyes were even bigger than they were.
Yeah. So that was another cool thing, is we got to see Kelly and Fred from Blue Team.
We did.
And
I wish I hadn't, Mark. I wish I had not. Keep
really?
The helmets
was
on.
Was it the eyes?
God, I don't know. Again, that was jarring. Like, again, that didn't work, right? They looked super fake. I understand the in-fiction reason that the Spartans are pale from wearing the armor too much. They're augmented, right? Mm-hmm. So they're losing some of those human characteristics, but they were terrifying on screen. Like, I
think they were supposed to
back on.
But also how robotic they were when it was like, we look and acknowledge the people, and then we turn and look at Master Chief because he is our god.
Right.
And then they look back. It was very just like, that was a directing moment. It's like, I want you guys to look at the exact same time, so it looks like you really look up to this guy. But it was a little bit too much.
It was terrifying.
Yeah.
I was just, yeah. Put your helmet back on, please.
How old are you? That's classified. That was pretty funny. I popped for that. So what? This This is one of those things where if you're a video game fan or not, you can watch this because it's a kick-ass action movie.
Do you think, I was going to ask you, because like, so for me it was really hard to divorce myself from the fact that admittedly I'm a big Halo guy. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be, like, it's not that I don't want to be, but like I find myself getting excited every time a new Halo title starts coming out. Like I'm on board with this Halo 5 hype train right now. In fact, we were talking a little bit off mic.
We were.
This has me so excited to be part of that world again. When I hear the music, I get excited about it. I don't know if I came into this cold. I authentically, Mark, don't know how.
I think that's what the first part is for. The first part is here are cadets. What is a Spartan? Why are they in space? Doesn't matter. But, here's some cadets.
So, an example. I agree. You don't need to know what the Covenant are because they don't either in this world.
They don't say anything. They don't say it's the Covenant. They don't say it's elite. They don't say it's a hunter.
But for example, like, there are some things that like I feel like if I were watching this for the first time, they throw around the word ODST like the audience is aware what an ODST is.
Yeah, they never say orbital drop shock trooper.
Right, not once. And like whatever, fine, you can piece that together. It's fine, mm-hmm. right? But I wonder, A, how accessible it would be if you're not up on Halo, mm-hmm. and then B, like, is it a good sub? Because I tried to watch that with both hats on, right? Like the Patrick, who's this Halo fanboy, and then, you know, Mr. D's, who's very just like hypercritical.
Mr. D's is
every
my father.
Goddamn thing.
I don't know.
My dad loves this movie.
I'll be perfectly honest. I'm a big Halo gameplay fan.
Yes.
I'm not super huge. I mean, I do like the world, but I don't play most of the games for the story. I like it.
I would call you a liar if you sat here and told me that you were into the story. It's almost like nonsensical. I'm with you too. Mm-hmm. Like I like the universe, but I couldn't tell you moment to moment what's going on with anything else.
That's what I mean.
Yeah, for sure.
I can tell you what a jackal is. I can tell you what the vehicles are because I ride them in multiplayer.
It's a puma. Yeah. I'm with you.
Yeah, so no, it looks like a big cat.
Right. Oh, also that I did like. I liked the fact that they play Capture the Flag.
Yeah, come it's on, like, all right, for your final on. Exam, we're going to be playing Capture the Flag.
And like yes, CDF. Yeah, right?
Who gives a crap?
Capture the Flag.
Capture the Flag.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. I've been listening to it for a lot of years.
Yeah, no, but I would definitely call you a liar if you could tell me beat for beat what has gone on since the beginning of time as it related to Spartan program and the insurgents and then the rings and then the Covenant. Now they're good. Now they're like, we're friends. I wouldn't believe
I've been
it.
Super
I don't know that
combined
anybody really
before.
Is.
That was another thing is to get Mahaffey super combined or at least needle to death. But if they gave the extra thing and had her explode.
Pop. Yes.
Just like,
yes.
Whoa, what the hell is that?
I kind of love the Needler made an appearance in this.
Well, and the fact that they made it so much more dramatic when they had Silva get hit by the Needler.
That one just thing.
Yeah. Just like, and I was like, oh no, no, yeah. She's dying. Why? And I like how it didn't have a super happy ending.
No, yeah.
War is hell.
I agree. And I think, look, first of all, I have to say that before I forget the weapon piece, the fact that she picks up the Covenant weaponry, a big part of what makes Halo fun, I believe, is the improvisational nature of the combat, right? Like, they don't give you bullets, so you've got to make do with what you're given on the battlefield. Mm-hmm. You pick up needlers, and you pick up these sniper rifles, and you make do. It kind of feels like you're the one orchestrating this whole battlefield, right? And so I love that they introduced that, right? She's out of bullets, that she picks up the Covenant sniper thing, mm-hmm. and just aces the jackals along that. But I also really like 343's attempt to kind of ground the series a little bit.
Yeah.
Right? And I think like Halo 4 was kind of that first step. And I think 5 seems to have a much more mature narrative. We'll see, right? As the time of this taping, we're still a week and some change out. Mm-hmm. God, I cannot wait.
Seriously.
But it sounds like they're trying to ground this narrative in a way that Halo hasn't been before, keeping all that makes it Halo, but make it accessible and interesting and a little bit deeper than it's been before while keeping kind of that epic nature of combat.
I 100% agree. The movie starts out with getting to know these kids.
Yeah.
All of their intentions and all of the places where they come from are very relatable. So you relate to these kids and it's a military academy. It's very basic. The fact that it's insurgents, you don't really need the framing of a regular Halo movie to get into it. And then once all of the crazy stuff happens, it like, as we mentioned before, it just made me want to play the game again. It's circular. That's why I say this is the most successful transmedia thing, because the movie makes me want to play the game, and the game makes me want to watch the movie again.
Dude, I have to applaud. I think that, especially in these PR cycles for these games, these 2 year sometimes plus PR cycles, a lot of the beats start feeling similar, right, for a lot of these properties. You know that they're going to show the campaign trailer for Call of Duty, you know, X number of months out, then there's the multiplayer reveal, mm-hmm. and then there's the zombies, and then, like, so, like, you feel that this content's kind of trickled out. I really applaud Microsoft 343, and even before them, Bungie, in finding interesting ways to market it. I'm loving
all of the live action stuff.
Totally. I love the live action. Do you remember, was it Halo 3 that did that memorial? Right? That was almost like a diorama. I would encourage you to go look this up if you haven't seen this.
Was that or ODST? No, that was 3, I think. Because ODST was about the soldiers and getting shaved and all that. And I really liked Reaches as well. All of them.
All of them.
And the Hunt the Truth stuff for 5. I love how, like, through the course of one TV program, all of the different Halo commercials evolved into Master Chief sucks that he's dead, and evolved into Master Chief showing up, and then it evolved into calling yes. Oni, like, yo, yes. Locke, you got to take this guy down now.
Totally. Yeah, it's unbelievable. Like, and I would have never seen, for people who are not aware, Hunt the Truth is kind of this radio drama podcast that comes out. They're in their second season. Its production value is off the chart, but what it's doing is fleshing out, again, the world in a way that makes it more accessible. I feel like coming into 5, Mark, I'll have a genuine understanding of what's going on and all of those political back channeling of why Master Chief's being set up. So if you haven't listened to Hunt the Truth, I can't recommend it highly enough. It's unbelievable, but, like, it even clued me up into the insurrectionist. Like, this movie teased it a little bit, A Forward Unto Dawn, mm-hmm. talked a little bit about maybe a little bit of the propaganda going on as it related to those outer colonies, as it related to those insurgents. So, like, and again, it all works, right? Like, it is the perfect execution of transmedia, if you will. I'm on board. Give me more transmedia.
Needless to say, we like the movie.
I
would watch it again.
I don't know that I'll watch it again.
Yeah?
No, I mean, like, whatever. My job here is to be the negative guy.
It's fair.
I was...
you know your place?
I do know my place. Stay in my lane. I think... I was really ready to come into this movie hating it, thinking mm-hmm. the production value was not going to be anywhere near what it ended up being. And I think, again, it was grounded in a way. It wasn't smart, but it certainly was grounded and, like, managed those nods to the hardcore Halo enthusiasts while doing its best to be grounded and be accessible for people not familiar with the IP.
So speaking of production costs, I want to talk a little bit about the production.
Lay it on me.
It was a 25-day shoot.
Vancouver, and, yeah?
Yes.
Right.
They used Simon Fraser University, which is also being used for Stargate SG-1, Battlestar Galactica.
Oh my God. It is totally Battlestar Galactic. Just so I'm actually knee deep. I'm almost finishing. I'm in season 4.
Okay.
Wrapping that right now. But holy sweet 8-pound, 6-ounce baby Jesus. I didn't even think about that.
Yep.
It totally is.
It's very popular for science fiction locales.
Yeah.
They get a lot of shooting out of it.
Canada.
The
so much better than we
the
are.
The Warthog was produced by the Weta Workshop. It was used in a short that they did called Landfall.
I don't know it.
Yeah, it was sort of to get Neil Blomkamp for the Halo movies. Like, look what he can do.
Oh,
isn't that great?
I totally remember that. Yep. I thought that was actually an official...
Weta made it for that short. And so they were like, hey, yo, since that's ours, can we have that?
Yeah.
And I want that. Like, that was the one of the coolest... fictional vehicles that's been sort of realized, because everything else these days is super CG, but the fact that they made a space jeep with huge floodlights and a giant spinning turret,
and it handled like it seems to, they think it would in the
game,
it was
real
floaty, right? Like, yeah, when he slid around the corner, it's like, it's not as easy as you think.
I was like, yeah,
like, I've had that conversation in co-op like 14 times, like, look, I'm doing my best, okay, just shoot people.
See, that's why I'm a gunner, I'm not a driver, because I can make those adjustments. The Covenant that all appear are completely computer generated, as the Academy's space elevator, weapons muzzle flashes, and a few shots of Master Chief. Well, I mean, that was kind of clear.
You think?
No, a little bit. But despite the only parts of Master Chief that really were CG, they didn't seem that terrible.
No. I'm nitpicking for sure. And I toss my controller as a pejorative. I mean, it was fine.
Yeah. It was fine.
It was fine.
This movie was directed by Stuart Handler, an American film, commercial, and music video director. He's done several other movies, Sorority Row in 2009, and then in Whisper in 2007, which is a supernatural thriller.
Sorority Row director?
Sorority Row.
I mean, it's a logical choice, I feel like.
Very much so. But there's a series called H+, that's going into a second season. Awesome web series. It's kind of about the end of the world. And a virus that's kind of been contracted throughout the world and spread. If you have not seen it, H+.
No.
H+, the digital series. I would recommend that to anybody. All right. Super good. I knew a couple of guys on that. Very much. You'll probably watch the whole thing tonight because you'll want to see what happens.
Yeah.
But they're currently in production for a second season. Very good work by Mr. Handler. So since this didn't come out in theaters, there wasn't too much of a box office reception. I was trying to see if this was a part of Halo 4's budget, but it looks like this was a completely separate thing.
Sure.
12.5 million, but since this was used to promote Halo 4, it's called Halo 4 Forward Unto Dawn, not Halo Forward Unto Dawn.
Right.
So I figure they made this back by the game sales because I think they made 600 million or something back on the game.
I don't know.
Either way, successful financially.
No, sure.
Got 7.1 on IMDb, and I did find a good review by Mr. Jesse Shadeen from IGN. Forward Unto Dawn got off to a slightly rough and underwhelming start, but it certainly finished in style. Aside from successfully teasing an already hugely anticipated game, it served as a template for how to do justice to the Halo universe in live action. With any luck, we can look forward to a similar tie-in during the build-up to Halo 5, which we got in Halo Nightfall, which, again, if you haven't seen.
I have not.
Halo Waypoint. You download the Halo Waypoint app on your Xbox One. They've got all the episodes. They've also got Red versus Blue. I'm pretty sure they have the episodes of this on it,
now,
too.
Now, set up Halo Waypoint a little bit. That's Spartan Locke.
Halo Nightfall.
Yes.
Waypoint is the app for all things Halo.
Right.
And then Nightfall sets up Locke. He's a member of ONI and
Office of Naval Intelligence.
Yes, which was a really badass acronym.
Yeah.
For really, like, it's just Naval Intelligence.
Dudes.
It's
just
the Navy.
Yeah.
In the Navy! And they're all ONI for some reason. But it's drama. They use digital effects sparingly.
Okay.
There's like a Covenant conspiracy of like suicide bombers with this, with an infection, a human infection. They're trying to kill off the humans. It's very interesting, and you get to see, you get to know about this character and why he turns into what he does for Halo 5.
Well, so how long is this? What's my time commitment going into this?
I mean, it's 40 minute episodes.
40 minute episodes?
Yeah.
How many
it's a
we
web
got?
Series.
How many do we got?
If I remember correctly, 10.
Wow, that's legit. Well, taken back by that. Are you kidding me?
No, it's a full-on Netflix series.
And it sets up 5.
It sets up 5.
In a way that you are way more excited about it.
Well, I would say it sets up the character of Locke more than if you just turn it on and be like, why is this guy mad at Master Chief?
All right. Okay, so like I feel like their investment to Locke to this point is such that we were going to see him over several titles. There's no way he's a throwaway character for just 5.
I think if anything, 5 sets up a team up for something huge in 6, where you're going to be Locke and Master Chief
and Arbiter and
sure.
some grunts.
I mean, we're getting a 16 player co-op multiplayer on the same system for Halo 6. Prediction time. But I mean, it's
day one.
What they're doing with Halo. Everybody should take notice because this is Microsoft's property. This is the Microsoft thing. When you buy an Xbox, you're getting it for Halo.
It is their killer app.
Yes. Yep. I would say that with Gears right behind it. If they did something similar with Gears, I would love them even more because Gears is – I flipping love Gears.
I do. I really do too. And Gears got a little bit over the top toward the end of the third one. I'm really looking forward to seeing what Rod Ferguson and that team up in Vancouver are doing with the next
with
one.
Four, yeah.
Looking to ground it in a similar way that 343 seems to have been doing on this.
So hopefully with 4, we get a similar dedication to the source material like we did with Halo Forward Unto Dawn. So to kind of bring things back, let's talk about some of our favorites in this movie. What was your favorite line?
Favorite line?
Yeah.
I think it's Master Chief showing up. I know it sounds ridiculous, but I'm with you at the same time. Like, I looked at the screen and I'm like, yeah, cheering because they're in that hallway to set that up. And the elite is going to eat the children. Like, he's got, I mean, he's got the predator mouth.
That was the screenshot I picked. Sully right there. Yeah,
yeah, terrifying, right? Mm-hmm. And then Master Chief shows up. I yell, and then when he actually introduces himself, I thought it was fantastic.
The sword also could have looked super cheesy.
I agree,
but it looked super menacing.
It did. I think so. And honorable mention for my favorite line is mm-hmm. when I can't remember his name, but the kid who does the hacking that sets up
Sullivan.
The first person, Sullivan?
Sullivan.
So when Sullivan is at lunch and he's trying to explain to people and he goes, and then you saw that guy's like, yeah, it was the best. I'm like, we've all done that.
Did you stay till after the credits?
I totally did.
Okay,
it was
good,
the best.
The bloopers
part.
Are great.
Yeah, because I loved it when he did it. Yeah, just, yeah.
Bring up! Yeah. Mine was shortly after Master Chief's introduction, because it was so dramatic and it was another one that was almost my controller throw moment, but it set up the whole scope of the rest of the film. It was, how did you find us? A distress beacon. Why did you come for us? You're the only survivors. In the school?
On the planet.
It's like, oh!
Yeah.
Holy crap, everyone's dead. And that's like, okay, so that's why there aren't as many Covenant at the school. They sent what they needed here and everybody else for the surrounding areas to take out the rest of the planet.
Yeah, you see them glassing the entire planet as they're fading out, which was great.
And like, I was like, are we on Reach? Is this? Right. No, okay, no. It's a completely different planet. But you got to experience that thing from another perspective.
Yeah.
As opposed to playing Reach, now you got to just be on this planet and be with these characters. So that was one where, as cheesy as it is, it's like, holy crap, we're actually here. And now Master Chief has nothing else to worry about but the people that he's leading to safety. Who would you recast? We've got Lasky, Silva, Mahaffey, and Master Chief. Who would you recast in each role? So starting with Lasky, who would you recast in that role?
Who would I choose for Lasky? I know this is ridiculous, but part of me is a little bit angry that the Ender's Game remake was made the way it was.
Really?
Look, I think that property is near and dear to my heart, right? Yeah. It's literally my favorite book of all time. The first time I read it in one sitting.
The whole series?
No, that book.
Okay, I was going to say.
And say what you want about Orson Scott Card. I'm really bummed out about the way that movie turned out.
I
will say Asa Butterfield was fantastically cast, mm-hmm. and I believed him more as a soldier, as a leader. Than I did Lasky. So I think it was Lasky specifically I'm going to choose would be Asa Butterfield.
Asa Butterfield, that's a really good choice.
How about
you? I picked Eddie Redmayne because I think he's still young enough.
You think?
But he's got sort of a passive look to him, but also he has the talent to bring some of those lines to life in a way that I could see him evolving from the guy's like, I don't want to listen to anybody to the, all right, everybody follow me. We're doing this. We're getting out of here.
I can see that.
So I can see his evolution. I can see him bringing that evolution to light in a pretty realistic way.
Yeah, I can see that.
What about Silva? I'll start then.
Yeah, dude, please. I would say
because of Live, Die, Repeat, Edge of Tomorrow, I'd say young Emily Blunt.
You can do this. We're going to time travel.
Why not?
We're
going to.
Okay,
why not?
So we're going to go young.
I mean, this is fantasy.
No, she.
This was 2 years ago. We can recast it however
that
we want.
Live, Die, Repeat was an incredibly underrated film. Like, that was the best video game movie I have ever seen.
Our friends at Action Movie Anatomy 100% agree.
Jesus Christ, that movie was so good, and I can't believe that talk about like checkpoints and like the video mm-hmm. game experience. That is that movie to a T. But that's
I
a
agree.
Pretty good choice. I would say current actresses. I'm probably gonna go because I'm not gonna try the time travel thing. And I'm spacing her name. She's the female lead in True Grit, the Coen Brothers one.
It's killing
me, small. So here, I'll talk about why while you look that up.
Yeah, yeah.
So she's one that she also seems to be a leader and completely capable of holding her own. And they did this really good job of. Her part in this role, she was supportive, but not in a way that she showed weakness in any way.
Yeah.
I don't know. I wish I could remember her name, but I thought she was fantastic.
I agree with you.
I think she's one of the finest women in that age.
Yeah.
Acting today. And I know Mazzie Williams gets a lot of run.
Yeah, Mazzie Williams, yeah.
I think she's competent at best.
Was it Haley Steinfeld?
Sure. I'm gonna go ahead and say yes.
Sure, let's do with that.
Yep.
Yeah, Haley Steinfeld.
If you haven't seen True Grit, the Coen Brothers, first of all, go just see all of the Coen Brothers films. But that True Grit was unbelievable.
Coen Brothers movie Anatomy coming soon to Popcorn Talk Network. That's not true. What about Mahaffey, the Colonel?
I'm gonna defer to you on this one again.
Elizabeth Banks. She's in a comedy called Moonbeam City on Comedy Central, okay, where she plays a police chief.
Yep.
And she's like super hardened in it. She's just a take no crap, classic 80s, like, you better do it or it's your ass. So I can 100% see her as a little bit more commandeering in this role.
I want to go older and angrier, almost like a Kathy Bates. Like really seasoned. She's seen a ton of shit, and she's just quiet and focused and a little bit terrifying.
I like that a lot.
All right, fair enough.
Because she still has sort of that relatability where she's like, Thomas, come on, you can't be doing that.
A little
but
motherly,
then it's like,
but,
no.
But she could break you if she needed to.
And I totally agree. Lastly, Chief.
Hugh Downs is the voice? I'm sorry. Can we touch on that?
Yeah.
When it's 2 degrees off, this iconic voice. Like, yeah, that guy was great.
Just do Steve Downs. Just Steve Downs.
Did I say Hugh Downs?
You said Hugh Downs.
That's, you know, whatever.
It's 2020.
I'm just making stuff up at this point. So it didn't work. Like, especially when it's so iconic.
I was like, when he started talking, I was like, somebody's trying to do a Master Chief impression.
Yeah, totally.
It's a voice. Just do Steve Downs.
Especially because, like, his volume of words is minimal at any given Halo game anyway.
Yeah.
Right? Like, he says, like, 9 things. And so you hang on everything that man says. Mm-hmm. That voice was a big miss. I understand that guy's rate must be through the roof, but that was rough. Who would you – like, is Chief even worth recasting?
No. That's what I mean. Is I would recast this as who he's usually cast as, Steve Downs. That voice is too iconic. If you're trying to introduce it to a wide audience, and you're not even – I mean, we haven't seen Chief's face anyway. But if you're not – there's no reason to go with somebody else if you're not doing anything new with the character.
I agree. If you're going – like, if there's a whole tonal shift or there's just a whole reinterpretation of what Halo is, then mm-hmm. Sure, maybe you could do that. Like, you could cast – and I don't know the guy's name off the top of my head, but if you played The Witcher, any of The Witcher games, the guy mm-hmm. that plays Geralt of Rivia would be, like, 2 degrees off – maybe, but that same stoic, focused voice. But I don't think you recast it at all.
I don't think there was a point in this other than depending on what his rate was, like you said.
Right.
Yeah. So having a little fun recasting the movie with quote unquote modern actors, even though those are like 3 years ago.
young Emily Blunt, everybody.
Yes.
Young.
Why not?
Yeah, screw I don't know. Yeah, great. Recasting.
Hey, 3 years ago, she looked a lot different than she does now.
Fair enough.
I guess. So what... Any final thoughts that you have about the movie?
I'm just encouraging people, if you're even remotely a Halo fan or science fiction fan in general, I think this is worth your time. It's free on Netflix, right? So there's no real barrier to entry. And if you've enjoyed Ender's Game, if you appreciate just good sci-fi, I would say...
If you want to see a better version of Ender's Game.
I kind of agree. God, that movie was so... God, that was rough. I had to wait till this is a whole story. I need a whole Ender's Game catharsis at some point. But I think my closing comments would be like, again, this is the best. I'm calling this video game adjacent. It's in that universe. So it's not an adaptation of anything that we've actually played. But
yeah.
I would assert, of what we've seen, this is head and shoulders better than any of the other ones we've seen, in my estimation.
No, I agree. This they wanted to make this work as a general film before they wanted to make it as an adaptation. Because all of the ones that we've reviewed in the past were, if it's a video game movie, people are going to be looking for a certain thing. And that's why I gave Mario Brothers the credit, credit that it deserves, but doesn't. they tried making a movie for a general audience.
I agree.
It failed.
Right.
It 100% failed because nobody understood it. But on
a fever dream
to a general audience, nobody understood it.
Right.
So at least there was a general consensus from the audience. So that this was one where they what are the main points of Halo that we can translate to that audience while still making a movie that people can relate to?
Yeah, I mean, I think it was very accessible, and I think that it's paced really well. Mm-hmm. I was super concerned that. Like, where Master Chief was going to come in. Because I knew he was in this coming into that. But I knew nothing about production value or anything else. My concern was going to be it would be a pacing nightmare. But I enjoyed – I mean, it keeps moving.
Yeah. We can't compare it to the web series cut. I do know, looking over some of the transcripts, that some things are in different places. And
oh, interesting.
Yeah. So I would highly recommend, if anybody hasn't seen the cinema cut who has seen the series cut – do yourself a favor. Halo 5's coming out. Get yourself back into the Halo spirit. Load up your Master Chief collection.
Worked for me. I hear that song. I'm on board.
Yeah. Da, 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 Like, I'm ready to finish the fight for the fifth time. I'm happy that I picked this because it's like, you know what? Let's do a good one for a change.
I'm excited. I'm not hating something. Like,
yeah,
for
no.
once.
So
it feels good. I feel good inside.
So I'm going to change our verdict to game over or respawn. Would you respawn this property to see another version of it?
100%. I think a ton of possibility. And in fact, if you could reintroduce, it's funny you mentioned that Neil Blomkamp short, I butchered his name. Neil Blomkamp. Thank you. Again, was unbelievable, right? And they did that thing. Mm-hmm. I've said it three or four times, but it represents me to the fact that not knowing the alien menace and that just the sheer scope or the scale of these things, they're terrifying.
Yeah.
So I thought, I mean, if anything, I would love to see another adaptation, similar budget, but yeah, for sure. More of this, please.
It's been in production hell. The Halo movie has been in production hell, but I hope that sooner than soon we can get some sort of a story like this where it is game adjacent. It's not anything that's based on a story,
right?
Maybe a novel, maybe something, but I think that this could be one of the biggest releases out there.
I mean, like, the entire time I was like, man, it's such a bummer that we don't have that yet.
I agree.
I mean, just such a missed opportunity.
So that is our take. We will definitely give this an extra life, a respawn, however you want to put it.
Yeah.
So 2 weeks from now, we're going to be doing another film. If you want to know what that film is, you should follow us on Twitter. Patrick, where should the folks follow you?
You can find me at Pete of the D's. I also host a video game podcast. I'm desperately trying to get this man on.
Yeah,
you can find me on iTunes. I'm a bit Pixel by Pixel. It's a whole bunch of pop culture, but largely video game nonsense.
And you can find me on Twitter at SoapboxMark. I'm here on the Popcorn Talk Network. Later tonight, we're going to be doing a trailer coverage of the Star Wars Force Awakens, which is about now. And the fact that we missed it makes me a little bit sad. Once the show's over, I'm going to watch it about 20 times.
Yeah, I'm going in with you.
And then, if you are fans of Rooster Teeth, we are going to be doing an after show for X-Ray and Vav. Make sure to tune into that. We got Lindsay and Jordan coming into not coming into the studio, but coming from their studio on Skype.
Yeah.
They're going to be calling in. It's going to be a good time.
Basically,
make sure to follow us at the Popcorn Talk Network or at the Popcorn Talk on Twitter, popcorntalknetwork.com. Stay tuned for anything. If you want to talk to us about this, make sure to leave a comment down below. Use the hashtag VGM Anatomy. For Patrick Dees, we'll see you next time.
I'm gonna go finish that fight.
Producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the rest of the Anatomy of a Movie staff. We would like to thank you for listening and subscribing to the show. If you have any questions or comments, feel free to email or tweet us. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been Anatomy of a Movie.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principal.